Hello, Bob Jones Patriots. I'm Casey.
And I'm Rebecca, and we're going to be discussing advancements in cartoons from 2018.
As many people who are probably listening to this podcast know, one huge thing that happened in 2018 was how many cartoons came out in the media and in different channels, and we wanted to discuss multiples of them. And give our reasons why 2018 had so many advancements. So basically, some of the works we're going to be discussing mostly are Voltron Legendary Defender, Adventure Time, and Steven Universe. I'm hoping you've at least heard of one or two or all of them, because those ones have been very important in 2018 and are definitely in need of discussion. Something we both wanted to point out was 2018, of course, wasn't the beginning of a lot of animation and cartoons. This happened in the last 5 to 6 years that multiple cartoons have grown popular in the community and nationally.
But basically, I think 2018 was just the year that cartoons have been promoted for any demographic, and of course they are for everyone, but I think they cemented that fact this year, or last year.
Gravity Falls, Phineas and Ferb, there's those ones, Avatar, Over the Garden Wall, Legend of Korra, and Star vs. the Forces of Evil. Most of these are really, really good, but they weren't what really pushed the interest in 2018. We're still most likely going to mention a good amount of these at certain points just to increase our ideas of why animation has gotten so huge in the last year. But we're mainly going to talk about top three, and we might mention two shows that came out in 2018, She-Ra and the Princess of Power, that came out in November, and The Dragon Prince, which came out in September.
So one of the big things that have made animated shows so popular are reboots.
Reboots have gotten very popular, especially on Netflix. Of course, people binge shows on Netflix, and that's been very popular.
Right. One of the biggest reboots, I think, in 2018 was Voltron Legendary Defender.
Yes. Even though it did start in 2016, Voltron has definitely stepped up its game in this past year and has played a huge role in animated shows. Another show that we wanted to point out that Netflix has also rebooted is She-Ra, the Princess of Power. Of course, Voltron and She-Ra both came out in the 70s and 80s. And now Netflix, and of course there are other reboots out there, have come out with content that involves the show, which is very beneficial for all age ranges because that means adults and kids can enjoy it.
Another thing that's kind of emerged or has been getting a little bit more popular with cartoons is LGBT+ representation, strong female characters, characters with disabilities or mental health.
Yeah. It's been empowering in the media, and of course, for many people who deal with things like this, of course, there has been more advancements as well, not just in cartoons, of disability and mental illness being a important thing, and also the rise of LGBT and the rise for feminism and making sure we're all equal in a way. There are definitely shows out there, and cartoons, of course, that have definitely risen to that level and have started to show all these three ideas and advance them and make them more of a importance in our nation and, of course, the world, because more people watch shows like this.
And two of my favorite shows that have this are Steven Universe and Voltron, and Adventure Time.
Yeah, those are very important shows.
Because I like that in all three of these shows, the characters who show this representation are the main characters, which doesn't really happen a lot.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Shiro is
gay. He's disabled.
Yeah. And in Steven Universe, there was the whole Ruby Sapphire wedding that mm-hmm. was really popular, I think, for...
And then the last episode of Adventure Time, which had the Marceline and Princess Bubblegum kiss, which freaked out a lot of fans and made everyone excited. Another important key to these shows that I feel like a lot of people have noticed is that throughout the last couple of years, there have been darker storylines. And what I mean by that is they are more detailed, but they also have like a more intense storyline. And for example, we're just going to talk in general on these shows that mm-hmm. all these shows that we have listed have had at one point or another something dark happen in them. For instance, I'm going back in time a bit to some of the shows that kind of started this line, Gravity Falls and Over the Garden Wall. Over the Garden Wall in general is a very creepy show, and even with it being creepy, of course, there's those moments, but I feel like by dark, the show's meaning, because a lot of people have in-depth thought about how the show has been, and one way people have imagined the show is that it's supposed to represent in between death and life, that in between section. And I thought that was very empowering in showing something different and something more unique.
Another thing that I really surprised me for darker storylines is Gravity Falls with mm-hmm. Bill Cipher, because the fact that Disney made just the show Gravity Falls in general kind of took me aback, because mm-hmm. normally they don't show such dark themes for children.
I definitely agree with you. I especially agree with you on that point, because Gravity Falls, of course, Disney, as we know, has been this kind of chill, like family-friendly kind of network for like Mickey Mouse and that stuff, and shows like, of course, they've had Kim Possible and those shows, but one thing that really stood out was Gravity Falls, because, of course, in the beginning, like, you normally, when you watch it at the beginning, it's all happy and stuff, and you're like, oh, this is a cool show. And I definitely saw at the ending, like, in the second season, how dark it started getting. Now, of course, it was still a happy show and great, but of course, more at the end, you could tell that there was a darker storyline to it, which I feel like interests so many people, because, oh, it was once this happy show, and it got so dark, and it was Disney who did it. Well, of course, Alex Hirsch, but you know, Disney.
And just with storylines in general, I do like that the animated shows that have been released lately just have been able to tell a good story, mm-hmm. and I like that they plan it out and they have an actual plot, an actual development, because normally you don't see that with a lot of kids' shows.
Mm-hmm. Yes, when you're saying that, the storylines have definitely gotten more in depth, and character development has also been a strong suit in many animated shows, especially in the past year, because so many characters, of course, have been introduced in these shows, but also their storylines have been cued in as more important than some of the storyline, in a way, because we want to know the characters a lot, and character development is very important.
And it really appeals to the older demographic, because it gets them interested and excited mm-hmm. and wanting to watch more.
Yeah, you don't want the character to just be the same on and on. You want the character to be able to progress as if they were a human being or an alien or a furry or whatever they are. Something that we definitely thought should be mentioned is the music, because so many shows
have
good music, okay? Do you wanna list these amazing shows that have such good music?
Adventure Time, Voltron, Steven Universe, Gravity Falls, Over the Garden Wall, and so many more, basically.
Yes, there is so many shows nowadays that one reason so many people love it is because the music, okay?
Oh my goodness.
Like, the music's so good nowadays. Of course, all these shows have a variety of different music types, of course. Voltron, you don't really think of it normally about the music.
Their soundtrack was
so good.
And Steven Universe is probably one of my favorite shows with music, just because when you listen to the lyrics, it's so deep,
mm-hmm.
because I love that Rebecca Sugar makes her songs so deep for the show. And it's just, it's so pretty, and I love it. And also, the Gravity Falls theme song.
Over the Garden Wall and Gravity Falls, I feel like, of course, I feel like those shows kind of connect in a way because the creators are sort of friends, and I feel like just soundtracks in general, especially theme songs for many of these shows, have been phenomenal and beautiful. And of course, Steven Universe is still continuing right now, and I'm hoping for even more music for that show.
Me too. Another thing that's probably surprising to some people that's made advancements or helped boost the popularity of animated television is the creators and the voice actors, just because of their involvement outside of the show.
For instance, we have the actor and the amazing person he is, Josh Keaton, who, if you don't know, plays Shiro in Voltron. Well, he played because, of course, sadly, Voltron ended. And he has done so much for the fandom and for the show, especially when he has his YouTube channel, and he does these videos that involve Voltron related things and jokes.
Or just any other show that he's been working on.
Yeah. Of course, we earlier mentioned Rebecca Sugar. Of course, there's Jeremy Shada, who has been in multiple of these shows. And of course, there is Alex Hirsch, who of course always loves giving new content to his Gravity Falls viewers.
And also, a lot of people who have worked on the shows that we listed have gone on to other shows that are still very popular today.
Mm-hmm. I have definitely noticed that so many of these creators and like actors have, of course, gone to different shows and helped create those shows as well. And I've also noticed this in a smaller way, like a smaller aspect to what you think or like the world thinks, that a lot of the animators have worked on multiple shows. Of course, a couple months ago, I met a Gravity Falls animator who also has worked on multiple other shows, which I think is an amazing thing because it shows how much enjoyment they love to share to the world these cartoons and make people happy. Of course, there have been other shows besides Voltron and Steven Universe and Adventure Time and Gravity Falls that have done this. For instance, Phineas and Ferb, as mentioned before, has their creators have made other shows, and then of course there's multiple other shows that have had multiple different animators that are like to other shows.
Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite things about the newer animated shows is the animation production, because oh my goodness, it is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really shows how much they've worked on the shows. And I mean, just how much passion they have for the story that they're working on.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Especially in a lot of the shows we mentioned, I have noticed so much good quality on the animation. And I feel like it's gotten so much better throughout like each show and their seasons. One scene I definitely thought we should talk about is the scene in season 6, I believe, of Voltron, where Keith and Shiro battle. It's so beautiful. Of course, the music's good.
It's just everything about that scene is just so amazing. And I would give that an award personally.
Yes, I believe it was nominated for something from some competition. I do not remember the name of it. But that scene was nominated. I don't believe it won because, of course, there was all these shows that also had scenes nominated. Mm-hmm. But one actor, AJ Locascio, actually got nominated for his character Lotor and won. I just thought I should point that out because that was another amazing thing from 2018 that I believe should get credit. But back on animation production, Voltron had good and beautiful animation. So many of these shows also did. I definitely see that coming also from Over the Garden Wall and Gravity Falls when that was being produced, because it just...
There's a lot of detail in the scenes in Over the Garden Wall and Gravity Falls.
Leading up to that, the shows are also super planned out. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, I know I'm bringing Voltron back, but Voltron has made a huge mark in 2018 with the seasons. But as Voltron fans know, the creators planned very ahead on a lot of things for the show. Of course, things have been changed in the past, but like, and were changed in the future, but they planned very hard for it to be a really good show.
And I do think with the whole shorter seasons thing, it does depend on how, like you said, how well planned out it is, because if it's not well planned out and it's a shorter season, the story is probably not going to be as good. But I do like how much content they can put just in less than 10 episodes.
I definitely noticed in the shorter season pattern, especially when Gravity Falls ended, because if you've never watched Gravity Falls only had two seasons. Now, of course, they had a good amount of episodes per season. They had, I believe, 20 per season, but a lot of people were really sad that Alex Hirsch decided to end it. The show wasn't canceled. It was ended because he didn't want it to continue. He wanted it to stop at a good time, and I feel like a lot of other shows had decided to do that as well. One thing I noticed was a lot of this pattern was coming from Netflix. My idea of the reason why, for instance, like Dragon Prince, She-Ra, and Voltron, all three of those shows actually had somewhat short seasons at certain points, and I feel like the reason is because they're trying to give as much content at certain amount of times, so their viewers aren't as lacking of interest.
And another thing that we both noticed is that a lot of these shows have the same type of genre, which is fantasy or science fiction. I almost feel like there's a reason that they do that.
I wonder if people like fantasy and science fiction. Yes, all the shows we mentioned.
I just think that it's a genre that appeals to everyone.
Yes, it definitely does.
I mean, no matter how old you are.
Yeah, like, I feel like everyone can, like, benefit from a little fantasy and space for a time. I definitely think it has improved the shows. Of course, there's other genres that are really good, but now a lot of fantasy and science fiction has just gotten so popular over the last couple years that a lot of shows have done it. And we need to go to a few things to finish this up that are also important to these cartoons that have made them big as well, and that would be ships and fandoms. Now, if you're not in a fandom or a ship and you have no idea what those terms mean, a ship is what people call, it's a name for people who are in like a cartoon. There have been Tom Holland and Zendaya ships, of course, they're not in cartoons, but ships can be any type or form. And if you didn't know, Tumblr has a 100 ship of 2018 list, and there have been multiple of these shows that have so many of these ships.
And we're just gonna name a few because there are it's too many.
There are so many ships out there.
But the ones that we will name are from the shows that we have been talking about. One of the biggest ships out there is Clance, which
is... It's so big. It's the second year in a row it's been this big.
And Clance is the shipping of Keith and Lance from Voltron Legendary Defender. I think it's one of the reasons Voltron has become so huge.
Absolutely. One thing you can notice from these shows... Okay, so from the 100s list, of all the shows we've talked about, 13 ships have come from these shows that are on the 100 list. Clance is number one for a second year in a row, and Sheath, I believe, is number five, which is Keith and Shiro.
Yeah. There's also Chance, which is the shipping of Shiro and Lance.
But Bubblegum and Marceline's ship, Bubbling, I believe. Yeah. That's how you pronounce it.
There's, I believe you pronounce it Rufire, but it's Ruby and Sapphire from Steven Universe.
Yes. There's also Lapidot.
Yes.
Which is Peridot and Lapis. And there are so many more on this list.
But we're not going to have time to name all of them.
Yes. I will note that one thing I've noticed from this list is most of the ships that are enlisted are Voltron ships. And I can definitely tell that Voltron has definitely had a huge spark of popularity in 2008, mostly because of how many ships there are. Because the fandom in that group ships everything, okay? They ship Pidge Gunderson with science.
And I know that we keep bringing Voltron up, but it's...
They've taken over.
They have.
Of course, there probably won't be as much talk in 2019 because it did end in December, I believe, the 14th. But it is definitely a suggested show. All of these are suggested shows.
They are. They are equally amazing.
I also wanted to point out, I've discussed this statistic with Rebecca, that of the list, there's 13 of the list of shows we've talked about out of 100, which is crazy too, because of course there's all this other ships from other things than cartoons. 6 out of 13 are canon.
Yeah, a lot of shipping it's never really canon that often. Mm-hmm. You don't really see that.
Canon, for people who don't know what the word canon means, is actual news,
It actually happens in the show.
It actually happens. So 6 out of 13, that means there's all these other ships that aren't actually real, but people love them so much. May I just note that both Clance and Sheets, who are on the top 5 list, are not real whatsoever, but the show wants, the fandom wants it to be real.
And also, speaking on the topic of fandoms, that is the other thing that we wanted to talk about that has increased cartoons' popularity. And if you don't know what a fandom is, it's basically a community of people who all like a certain show, and they just express their liking for the show by creating fan art, edits, they'll cosplay characters, they'll make animatics. Just, there's so many things that they can do to...
From being a so-called fangirl, I can definitely say that fandoms are a very important thing for a show, or it can be more than just for a show. There's fandoms for books, there's fandoms for movies.
That's right.
For instance, Marvel has a huge fandom right now. But fandoms are what I feel like make the shows and, of course, everything else so much better, because they make it kind of like a family, a place where everyone can share their interests and like talk, and of course people make friends from just being in the same fandom.
And they are, to me, the people that do mostly make the show as popular as it is.
The reason Clance got so popular was because the fandom loved Clance so much that they wanted it to be a thing. Fandoms are very important to this community and have made it such an amazing thing. And I feel like it has very much advanced cartoons this past year. And I feel like fandoms have definitely grown in numbers.
Yes, and I do personally, also being a professional fangirl myself.
Yes.
I do enjoy, for the most part, being a part of fandoms because I love seeing how so many people express themselves through the shows that they like and just showing off their creative talent and just listening to all their theories about shows. Mm-hmm. And
it's fantastic. To leave you guys off on this cartoon discussion, I would suggest, and she would, to watch any of these cartoons if you're somewhat interested in watching these, because they're all very beautiful, they're very well done, and they were definitely worth discussing, and they made 2018 so much better. And of course, some of these have ended, And this is kind of our like tribute to them because they did so fantastically last year and for many years, if I except like two of them that started last year.
Yeah.
And I definitely would suggest, like, if you're interested in a show or a movie or anything, to dive in and try to get into like a fandom and learn more about it, because the people are what makes a show so important.
Yeah, because speaking personally, just, I know this sounds kind of corny, but different shows do have an impact on people, and a lot of people I feel like can relate to these shows just because of the story and the characters and the themes that go on in all of them.
And I hope, and Rebecca hopes, of course, that you have a fantastic day, and see you guys later. Bye.